Welcome to today's People's Bank Let's Talk Indianola. I'm Andrew Swadner. On today's program, we talk with State Representative Brooke Bowden with the latest from the Iowa legislature. Welcome back, talking with State Representative Brooke Bowden. And Representative, obviously one of the big things coming out of the legislature in the first couple of weeks was educational savings accounts. You came out in support of that. Just talk a little bit about why you are in favor of that and just kind of what that means for your constituents.
Sure. So, you know, I listened to my district. I heard from, for the last 2 years while I was seated, how important it was that parents felt like they were not being heard and that there was a subset of parents that just had no other options. And so working within you know, those requests and listening to both sides, making sure that we addressed all those concerns on both sides of the matter. I really felt like this bill addressed, you know, funding the students and not a system. So I would say that that's why I decided to pass the bill. Most of you know that I worked with K through 12 students for years and teaching dance, and students are my passion. And I think that we should always be seeking the best environment for a child to learn and excel regardless.
Well, I know talking with our local superintendents in Marion and Warren counties, and I didn't personally get a chance to talk to all of them, but our staff got a chance to talk to most of them, and they were not in favor of this bill. I guess, how do you kind of respond to the fact that the superintendents in charge of our schools are not in favor of this bill?
Well, I mean, I can understand it is something that is a major change for what they've been working with. There's a lot of apprehension and I think fear that falls into this. But when you really start to look at the bill, I think it is completely appropriate, and we can totally support our public schools and provide parent choice at the same time. And this bill accomplishes both of those. So as we move forward, I think a lot of those fears will start to be alleviated.
Another one of the concerns I saw about the bill was kind of a lack of accountability of where the funds are being used and whether these schools are going to have the same standards as far as letting students in of all races, of all religions, of all disabilities, as that what public schools have to deal with. How do you respond to that?
Sure. So I guess I disagree that there's no accountability. I mean, private schools don't report the same federal reporting requirements, but they are this bill requires them to be an accredited school, and within that accreditation, they have to follow health and safety laws and annual reports, and these agencies have teacher certifications and safety drills. They have to have progress in school plans. They have to have independent audits, and they certainly have to report their financials and their assessment scores, all those things. And the parents play a major role also in receiving that information and making sure that those schools are doing what they expect. And then as far as not being a discriminatory, I mean, I disagree with that. State law says Iowa Code 216.9 states that you can't discriminate in an educational institutional setting. So I don't see that will be the case. Now, yes, a lot of these schools are a religious institution, and if somebody chooses to go there, we have state laws that say they can't, you know, qualify those based on religion. That's something that we have in our state code. But, you know, I think that most of these schools are looking just like our public schools. They just want to help the student.
Another thing coming out of the Iowa House was, it came out of committee, I guess you'll have to update me on where it's at right now, was about income limiting those who receive SNAP benefits. Do you think when that gets to the full House, I guess, what are your opinions on that in terms of SNAP benefits limited by income?
So I think that bill got dropped a little, you know, I think there's some work to do on that bill. I think they were looking at a lot of the parameters that kind of were based on maybe the WIC qualifications. And I think really the intent of the portion of the bill is to actually make sure that the people who need that money are receiving that money. So, the spirit of the bill is we want to make sure they have healthy foods and that we're providing, you know, we're not going out and just letting them fund, you know, buying taxpayers money of soda and candy, and then maybe you have some kids that aren't being fed at home. And so that supplemental nutrition assistance program is very important, and defining those guidelines is kind of what they were after. So, you know, providing $1 million appropriation to support that, purchasing fruits and vegetables, and I think ultimately it's gotten some bad press just because of the way it was drafted originally, with some stipulation that I think is, I was not on that subcommittee, but from what I hear, that those concerns are being addressed and that won't hit the floor that way.
Well, another thing I saw about that bill was, I think everyone is in favor of making sure that, you know, those funds are being used and there's accountability. Why would there be an income, set on SNAP benefits and not compared to public tuition and educational savings accounts? I feel like those two are kind of linked in terms of people receiving benefits based on income.
Well, I have to tell you that, you know, when you talk about us funding students, the dollar amount that we're funding students is the same dollar amount, regardless if they go to a public institution or a private institution. So that's currently the way that it stands. You know, that student that chooses now to go to a public school, that same dollar amount would be being used in the private or the public school, regardless of income. And that's been the intent and the spirit of that bill all along, is that we don't pick and choose winners based on, of welfare or not welfare, you know. And so I think when you look at SNAP benefits, we're looking at aiding people in that lower bracket of income to make sure that their children are fed and those things are met. So I guess I don't find that in the same categorical conversation.
And then anything else that you're preparing for in terms of what you're pushing for in the legislature, whether it's currently in committee or just things that you want your constituents to know?
Yeah, I do want to say that when we just hop back real quick to the school side of things, that, you know, we're still going to have tons of kids going to public school, and that's been the intent all along. We're not going to see mass exit, I don't believe. And so I am asking and looking for that 3% instead of down in the 2.5 to lower twos like we've done in the past. We know we have huge inflation right now with the administration of inflation. And so we just want to make sure that those public schools are as well being funded for what they need. And moving forward, as far as the things that I'm working on, we ran a good mental health care bill this last week that makes sure that we're not holding mental health care providers captive. Once they leave, they're allowed to let their patients know where they've gone, if they move around, and taking into account that that mental health care is important when you want to establish a relationship with somebody. So that non-compete with inside the mental health care portion is, you know, just working constantly and opening up more opportunities to bring more mental health care providers here with less red tape to get through. It's just so important. And a good tax exemption bill for emergency goods is on the table, something that I'm working on, so that our emergency services, if we would have any type of, you know, we saw a derecho, those type of things, that we're all prepared, and as citizens aiding in our law enforcement and emergency services prior to an emergency event. So those are a few things. I have a lot. that I think is very important. We have an open enrollment bill currently that, in my opinion, isn't a full open enrollment. I've written a bill that would extend that to making sure that open enrollment actually applies within your district. Currently, if you're talking open enrollment and something, you know, that you want to enroll with inside of your district, you're not allowed to do that. So if you wanted to enroll with inside of Indianola or Knoxville, inside of a different elementary school, or whatever, you're not allowed to do that. You have to, your child would have to travel to a different town and get new peers. So just making sure that we are always looking at what's best for all Iowans. And we got a lot of work to do.
Thanks to State Representative Brooke Bowden for joining us on today's program. If you missed any of our Let's Talk programs, find them online daily at KNIAKRLS.com under podcasts, and subscribe through Apple, Google, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's People's Bank Let's Talk Indianola. People's Bank in Indianola, Pleasantville, Carlisle, Knoxville, and more. Service you expect from people you trust. Member FDIC.